Hey, what up, what up, what up, good people? You already know who it is. This your guy CT and my homegirl, Nikki C. She is out today. Actually, she don't even know I'm doing this one. This is just a pop-up episode of Let the Conversation Begin. Oh, man, it's going to be a good one. Y'all already know what's happening right now. The reason why it's a pop-up because, you know, breaking news is going on. I know you see what's going over across the seas to Afghanistan. And let me turn this down just a little bit more. And y'all know that Biden, he actually held a press conference to, you know, just honestly double down on the things that he done and what he said. And a lot of people said that he didn't take ownership of the situation. He actually placed the blame on everybody else. So what we doing with this episode, we're going to get the mind of my guy KC. We're going to get the mind of him and see what he say about it. And just to be honest, guys, a disclaimer, I don't believe there's no right answer. I don't believe there's a wrong answer. It's just really your opinions at the end of the day. But I'm going to just give you a little rundown. So back in 2001, September 1st, you know, the planes hit the towers there in New York. They hit the Twin Towers on the Trade Center, and that caused the war between us and Afghanistan. And for the past 20 years, we have been fighting a war. To be honest, what I believe, because I never been over there, I think the war is gone, but I think that they stayed there to establish government over there at Afghanistan, and that's what we really been doing. But I want you to understand, we have been over at Afghanistan for four presidents' terms. So that means you had Bush, you had Clinton, you had Obama, you had I don't think it was Clinton. My fault. I don't think it was Bush. I think it was just Clinton. Sorry, guys. You had Clinton. No, it was Bush. Sorry. Oh, excuse me, guys.
It was Bush. Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah, so it was Bush first, guys. Then it was Obama. Then it was 45. Y'all know who it is, Trump. Then you have right now, which is Biden. And this is the fourth administration that has been in the office. It's been two Democrats and two Republicans. And that's where we at right now. And as you know, Biden, he have chosen to pull the troops out. We're going to get into the details further in the episode, but he has elected to pull the troops out. And to be honest, it has caused a catastrophic calamity over there in Afghanistan. I'm going to say it this gruesome. I talked to somebody that's close over there, and they said that the Taliban is killing the men, raping the women, and forcing the young ones to be soldiers. That's actually what's happening right now. I don't know how true it is, but I believe my source. And with Biden pulling out and that stuff going on, is Biden in fault? Is he right for doing what he did? Could he did it better? Or was this the best way to go? We don't know, but we're going to find out later on in this episode. So I want y'all to really stick with us. And if you have any questions, if you want to weigh in on the topic at hand, I need you to send that email to letthatconversationbegin@gmail.com, man. Appreciate guys. So what we're gonna do is move it right along into the meat and potatoes of this episode. So I have my good friend KC over the airwaves with us today, and he is gonna give us his thought, his mindset about what's going on. He's gonna talk about the interview on TV. He's gonna talk about what's going on. He's also gonna give you his personal feelings. So right now, without further ado, KC, what's going on, my brother?
Hey, what's going on, bro? Glad to be back on here.
Yes, sir.
Let's get into it, man.
So, just to start off, you heard my intro. Just how do you feel about it? Like, without me asking any questions, what is your thoughts about what's going on with the U.S. pulling out in Afghanistan?
I mean, I think about it as on a standpoint of, every Middle East policy we've been involved in since Reagan or before I was even born, you were born, I guess, with the Nixon administration, we always been involved in the Middle East, and then it's always like a disaster, like, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Even when they got involved in South Central America, you know, in the 80s with the drug lords and all that, and mm-hmm. this has been a disaster. Like every time they try to do like nation building or whatever the case, to it's like a cold war.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. But now they were using these Mujahideen with these religious fighters as a prop to fight Soviet aggression or communism or whatever. Because in the late 80s, early 90s, I believe, it was the Soviets that was over there trying to annex Afghanistan or whatever the case. And America trained these same Taliban and freedom fighters, Osama bin Laden and all of them, you know, on how to defeat the Soviets. They gave them weapons. Yep. They helped them build their tunnel systems and all of that, whatever, whatever. And then the chickens came home to roost. They turned on us, or I should say the American government or the posse, because I've never been in favor of any of this stuff.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, while simultaneously back in Israel, which causes it within itself a lot of animosity in the Middle East, because Israel has enemies on all sides. I think they're cool with Jordan and maybe Saudi Arabia or whatever, but these countries are all shady. They got their own agendas or whatever the case. So it's just been a disaster. So let's fast forward to 9/11, like you said. The Twin Towers were attacked. It was a horrible day. You know, me being a native New Yorker, I remember it vividly. It was crazy. It just caught the whole nation off guard. We didn't know what to expect or whatever the case. After 9/11, that was probably in my lifetime the most patriotic and join the F together every American citizen was.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
Like
you're right.
Yeah, all of our differences went out the window for this minute second to say, y'all just attacked us. Like, yo, what? That's crazy. You know what I'm saying? So everybody was on board on getting the revenge, on the get back. You know what I'm saying? However, when it was executed, it was executed under false pretenses by the Bush administration.
Mm.
And it's been well documented. Like, this is actually a scandal. You know what I'm saying? They came out with the biography to all that. Like, these dudes went to war in the Middle East just for profit.
Yeah.
Dick Cheney and all that. Halliburton, he was the CEO of the weapons company and made his own contracts. Like, this is crazy. And you went into Iraq to finish the job that your daddy didn't do.
Mm.
So we was like, why the hell are we there? Y'all lied about that. You know what I'm saying? Y'all didn't find Osama bin Laden or whatever the case. And then we got dragged into the war in Afghanistan. And when Bush left, then Obama came in.
Mm-hmm.
And to his credit, he went and caught bin Laden, and he wanted to pull out.
Yeah.
But everybody since Obama down to right now was like, you know, 8 years later was like, pulling out would be a bad idea because this is what's going to happen.
Okay.
And
hold on. Before you get finished, I want you to answer this too with what you're about to get finished.
Mm-hmm.
What was the reason why each term didn't want to pull out?
Yeah, and that's what it was. Like, when it came to Obama, he was like, yeah, I'm going to pull the troops out, because he did it in Iraq, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of turned out better. It a lot of chaos, though, whatever. I guess it was ISIS that came after that or whatever, after they got rid of Saddam and whatever. So, and then the whole Syria thing or whatever. But on its merit, they trained the troops in Iraq to defend themselves. And I guess now they're more stable, but I hear that they're under the influence of Iran or whatever, which is the U.S. enemy. So you can see how these things just turn sloppy. But Obama wasn't instructed not to pull out because they said this would happen. Then Trump, probably one of the only things I agree with Trump was like, yo, I'm going to end this war. So he was getting ready to do it.
You said what? You broke up a little bit. When you said Trump in this war, you broke up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. The only thing that policy that I probably agreed with Trump was he said he was going to end the war as well. So, and he went and did that. His chiefs told him, don't pull out too fast. Like, you got to leave. It has to be a sunset period or whatever the case. So then there was a, you know, Biden was in charge of that timetable. Gotcha. And I guess he either didn't pull out fast, he pulled out too fast, whatever. But ultimately, to answer your question, everybody said that what you see now, that was going to happen if you pull out too fast. Now, if you're going to ask me my take on it, my take is look like this. All right, what else did you think that was going to happen? You know what I'm saying? The reason why I'm against this war anyway is because we've been in there for 20 years. Mm-hmm. They have been bombing the Taliban every day, every minute, every hour on the hour for 20 years straight with no breaks. Gotcha. 20 years. And this is the end result. Like, you see how easily they took over after being bombed. Trillions of dollars just being dropped on their heads for 20 years and how easily they was able to move in. So that tells me that we should have been there. And I don't agree with Biden on everything, but this I agree on. And then he told the people, kiss my ass, like, what else do you want us to do? You know what I'm saying? They don't have a stable government in Afghanistan. You know what I mean? They spent billions to train an army for them like they did Iraq. But these dudes put their weapons down and was like, and I don't want to, oh, I'm sorry. My bad. I forgot.
I'm writing them down.
They was like, they was like, to get this, you know what I'm saying? We ain't going to fight. And they either joined the Taliban or ran away, whatever they did. So I know it's horrible, but that's not our business. That's the way of life over there. We can't, it's either two things you're going to do to control that situation. You're going to plant an American flag there and make it a territory, which now you're going to look like conquerors, racist ones at that. Or, you know what I mean, you can get the hell out of there. Well, there is no in between. You know what I'm saying?
Well, let me throw this at you. I'm going to be honest, being a young guy, I'm a little bit younger than you. And so when that happened, I remember it too. I don't stay in New York. I was staying in North Carolina. I was actually in, I think I was in seventh grade or eighth grade. And I was in a English class. And and it was just like class just stopped. We went from studying to school was let out. With this, it was just like, I didn't, you know, me being young, I wasn't educated at the moment. At the time, I didn't care about being educated, so I didn't know what was going on, but I knew it was serious because, shoot, school don't just let out. And then when you go home, everybody talking about the same thing, the same stuff. So when you said that we would look like as conquerors, that's literally what I thought. Not as far as conquerors, but I thought that it's almost like somebody came into our house, punched us in the face. We want the war, and now what we're going to do is set parameters so this won't happen again. And that's what I always thought what was happening. I thought was like, if we went over there, we fought this war, what's going to keep them from doing it again? Don't they need to set something up so they know this wouldn't do it again? That's at 12, 11 and 12 year old, at a seventh grader, that was my mindset, was like, no, they need to stay over there because if they don't, they just gonna mount another attack and come back over here again. And that's what I was thinking. So that's my side of, but with what you just said, you really done answered two of my questions. Should he pull it out? But this goes into the other question. You said that you agree, but it looks like that they didn't have a plan to pull out. What do you say to the people that feel like, hey, yes, he should have pulled out, but make sure you had a plan first and it wouldn't be disarray over there. It wouldn't be people running. It wouldn't be people getting killed. It wouldn't be women getting raped and kids getting forced into a military. It won't be people hanging on planes and falling off when a plane is gone. And it won't be no Taliban roadblocks blocking people from coming. So what do you say to that he pulled out with no plan?
Well, I think they did have a plan, but the plan was, yo, we trained the Afghan military and this is how y'all gonna hold your country down. Apparently some dudes decide to say, nah, we not. They put their weapons down put their hands up or they quit or whatever. Like, either they was a part of the Taliban on a low, or they just was like, they don't have no stomach to fight. So at the end of the day, that country belongs to the Taliban. Like, Afghanistan has no government. They don't have a central government. These are people that live. That country is basically a middle country from the Middle Ages. You know what I'm saying? They don't have, they live like they from the 15th century, you know what I'm saying, Muslim, you know what I mean, empire. You know what I mean? Like, they still live like that, and they still carry on the traditions, and they're very strict. They're not trying to be westernized. It's a whole different beast.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have a government. Like everybody try to say, oh, North Korea, that's probably the most dangerous country. No, it's not. I mean, it's messed up there, but they have a government. They have a central government, whether they be bad or not. Like, there's a couple of countries that, you know what I mean, you just you don't want to. Afghanistan is one of them, and I believe Somalia is the other.
Okay.
Somalia don't have a government. It's more safer to be in Haiti. It is Somalia or Afghan, because at least Haiti has some semblance of a government and police, and whatever, they might be corrupt or whatever, but those two countries right there is messed up.
Let me jump,
and that's how the way it's gonna be.
Let me just jump in right quick, because you said Haiti first. I just want to throw my condolences out there, because if you listening to this not too long ago, Haiti just got hit with a 7.2 magnitude earthquake, and it killed thousands of people, guys. So my condolences to that. And I was gonna cover that, man, but I make reference to stuff like that, but that stuff is so heavy for me, I let other people do that, just to be honest. But yeah, I just want to say my condolences out to Haiti. My fault for cutting off. You got it.
Nah. But yeah, and that's all respect to them, man. That's another topic too that I've been trying to ponder, that we got to talk about, you know, on a little side note.
I got you.
Like, damn, why does Haiti always had this whole, you know what I mean? But they attached to another part of the island, and then it'll never happen over there.
I feel you.
Yeah, it's something to think about.
Yeah, but, I feel you. You know, you're anyway. Right.
We gotta talk about that one. But anyway, it's just inherently one of those places to where they don't want to defend themselves. That country belongs to the Taliban. You've been bombing them nonstop every minute, dropping high technology and these bunker busters and these daisy cutters and, you know, the most everything short of a nuclear weapon you have dropped on their head.
Yeah.
You understand? Like, the full force of the United States military, everything short of a nuclear weapon, you have dropped on their head. You've even dropped the bomb that's supposed to be the bomb that's underneath the nuclear explosion. It's called the MOAB, Mother of All Bombs.
Mm.
They dropped that on these guys' heads. And they still persevered. They come out of their cage like ants.
Yeah.
And they just crawled onto the cities and took it over.
Gotcha.
These dudes are disciplined. Like, it's a whole nother breed. So Biden, to me, was like, yo, we ain't nothing we can do with these people. So we're going to have to change our whole Mideast strategy to answer your question as to how do you control these terrorist cells and organizations. We're going to have to change our policy. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because the Middle East is going to be just what it is. The Middle East.
I got you.
And these people are resilient. They're resilient, and they will die for no matter how fringe it may be or whatever they way of life, that's them. You're not going to change them.
Yeah. This is what I believe what happened with that. I'm going to put it in the layman's term. I like to give like simple examples. I think it was like a younger brother, big brother situation. And if you remember, I know you're an older brother, and maybe you've been in this situation. Yeah. But like, your younger brother is at school, and your younger brother is getting bullied at school. And every time he comes to school, he get bullied. But them bullies never mess with the bully when the big brother is around. And the big brother is there to protect him, because they know big brother is bigger and stronger. Big brother has some boys and home and homies. But one day, big brother is not around no more. And now younger brother got the fin. See, these enemies is not scared of young brother. The enemies is not scared. Mm-hmm. They were scared of Big Brother. They weren't scared of Young Brother. And I believe that's exactly mm-hmm. what happened right here is that now, like, you know, for 20 years, I'm not saying they was quiet, but they was quiet compared mm-hmm. to what they doing now. For 20 years, yeah. for 20 years, yeah. the Taliban was quiet because Little Brother, which is the Afghanis, are protected by the Americans and the American military. But now they gone. And mm-hmm. and just to be honest, to clarify, we're not all the way gone. We still have troops over there. We still have some high ups over there. But for the most part, we're getting out. And they see that. And they've been waiting. I was talking to another source because I want you to understand this. We've been over there for 20 years, and within a week, they already taking control like this. They had like you said, they are resilient, and they had a plan. Say, you know what? They're not going to be here. They're not going to be here forever. Let's just wait this out, and when it's time to go, we're going to pounce on them. And that's exactly what happened. That's really, really my take on it. What you think about that? Do you think it was the little brother, big brother situation?
Oh, absolutely. It was, man. But it was a war of attrition. Like, we don't know who's supplying the Taliban. My best guess would be Russia or China. They supplying them with these old school AK-47s mm-hmm. and all this other stuff or whatever. Like, and the U.S. has supplied them with weapons and all that. So these guys are continually just being funded by, and then Iran as well, or whatever the case, I believe, I'm not sure, but you know, Iran is a big deal in the Middle East. They talk to damn near every so-called terrorist cell or whatever. That's why we got to make peace with these dudes.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? They could be the ones to control or put a leash on all of this fringe terrorism in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Like, Iran is actually with more democratic of a nation than, let's say, Saudi Arabia in terms of being modernized or whatever. If you always want to talk to about being friends with countries with that share our values, well, they can vote in Iran, but you can't do that in Saudi Arabia. Gotcha. The king runs that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there was a whole coup in Saudi Arabia where the king, I guess, kidnapped the rest of the heads of the family or whatever, or had them detained, and the prince, and kept all the power to himself. The same dude that chopped up the journalist
mm-hmm.
From America.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, but so, like I said, it's got to be new policies drawn because they've been, and we got to just stay out of their affairs, man. And
you said that the Taliban has been funded. And that was my problem. That's where I scratched my head at. It's not really the Taliban being funded, because I look at it mm-hmm. like American, the whoever, and I'm not talking about color guys, but whoever is the gangsters and thugs in the streets, they get their guns and weapons from somewhere. They mm-hmm. do that. My thing is, if we was over there for 20 years and we mm-hmm. helped them establish a government, were they... The question I'm at, shouldn't they been prepared for this? Because I'm forward thinking. I know if it was me, I know the Taliban. I knew as soon as Big Brother's leaving, I know the Taliban is going to try to strike. I know that. So my thing is, shouldn't I been prepared, being ill-equipped better than the Taliban that was getting funded by whoever we were? And to me, it really do look like, I think his name, the president name is Ashraf Ghani. That was the president of Afghan. He just fled. He left.
He broke out. That's right. Mm-hmm. And he took the money and ran. He took the money and broke out.
And that's my problem. It's like we've been helping you for 20 years. Shouldn't you have a grasp of this and know how to fight? Why did you run? Your troops are coming to fight every day, if they have weapons or not. Now let me ask you this question. Are their troops bigger than the Taliban? Do they got more troops in their military than the Taliban?
Nah. They have a weak government, and that's the whole thing. Like, to my understanding, they always had shady leaders. Okay. Russia, the Soviets was putting puppet presidents in, you know, Afghanistan for their benefit, and those dudes was getting assassinated and all that and replaced. And then the United States did it. I believe they replaced like two or three presidents. You know what I'm saying? And these presidents all have, they all go into exile. They all run. The government there is weak because they choose not to have a government. It's like a puppet government that's been set up by these outside forces. At its core, it's the Taliban spirit that runs the frame of mind in Afghanistan. And unfortunately, the people that live under that, That's just that. They live under that. Mm. Now, the United States can either take in these hostages, and all these people that can look at that and be like, oh, well, you left these people to die, whatever. Yo, in the United States of America, all y'all do is complain about immigration and refugees, and they should go back to their country and build a wall and all that. So which one is it going to be?
Look, we...
Like, you want us to take... Right. Can we take them in and resettle them here? Or are y'all going to complain about that? Oh, well, you start digging in this and we can't do that. So all these people that's having all of these, you know, cry me a river moment, they only doing it to the political benefit of whatever party they align with. You know what I'm saying? And it's not really an honest discussion.
Man.
So that's why I'm like, man, me personally as a voter, and I'm not on the side of Biden. I didn't vote for him. You know what I'm saying? I voted for Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm an independent. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not in favor of either party. But I can't get mad at that. Even if Trump did that, I can't get mad at that.
Yeah.
What else you thought was going to happen? They had the plan was their government was supposed to deflect any, repel any Taliban threats. And they put their guns down and walked and let them march right on through.
No.
So that goes to show you it's an intangible situation. You can't control that. That's not, we need to get up out of that.
Man, you are so right.
And let the chips fall where they may.
Man, you are so right. We actually gonna get to that point, to what you just said, guys. Hey man, this is CT with Let the Conversation Begin with my special guest KC, man. I'm gonna ask you another question right quick. The other one is, do you believe Biden administration pulling out, do you believe that is a slap in the face to the soldiers before the soldiers now? Like the soldiers that have fought, gave their lives, put their life down. I mean, their family had to get a flag that they fought for this war, and now we just pulling out the way it is. Do you believe that's a slap in the face to them guys?
No, I don't, because the prime objective was to take care of Bin Laden. And there's no other way that you was going to police the Taliban without staying there forever. And everybody kept saying, how many of these wars we going to fight? How many of this? How many of that? Okay, so when you got a president that decides to pull the plug and just say, yo, enough is enough. Like, we about to take this money and build our infrastructure here. In this bill being passed. That's why he did it. But it was already in motion from another administration, but he just had the gall to do it, and I understand why he did it, because everybody keeps saying, oh, what about our country? What about? And ain't he right? Are we really talking America first? We can't even get computer chips for our business.
I know what you mean.
We run our business.
Yep.
And right now, the rental car companies, we don't manufacture anything in this country anymore. Like, we have outsourced all of our precious material to other places because we can't compete on the market. We as Americans want all this cheap labor, quick fix. You got all these Americans talking junk about, oh, well, you know, make it great again and this and that, and forget China. And y'all the same dudes that be feeding China because you run up to Walmart 24/7. Mm-hmm. Y'all live in Walmart. You know what I'm saying? Supporting China. If you really was about that, you would buy everything American made. And like I said, I had this conversation with Greg. You know what I'm saying? The only thing America makes now still is guns. That's it. That's the only thing we really good at making is guns. Yeah, we might manufacture, we might, you know, process oil and all that. We got our own oil reserves and whatever, but
they also make it hard for us too. Let's just throw that out there.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, at the end of the day, I kind of know where Biden was headed, and I feel terrible for those people.
Mm-hmm.
But we shouldn't have been there anyway. And if people are going to criticize, then what if he say, yo, we're going to take in all those refugees? Y'all going to have a fit. Mm. Oh, well, they don't belong over here. They're got Muslims. Like, a lot of y'all have racist intentions.
Yeah.
And you only using this to try to get at him. Like, if Trump did the same thing, it'd be Democrats doing the same thing to him. And that's cool. But to me, as an average Joe citizen in the United States, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You. Because that was going to happen regardless. So if you didn't plant your flag there and stayed over there as a conqueror, then that was bound to happen. And the Afghan army has showed that they have no government. That I think it's always been like that with that country. They've never really been conquered by anybody, even since the Middle Ages and all that. Like, they've always done their own thing.
Gotcha.
It's a whole different beast. Like, my cousin came from over there when he was in the paratrooper. It's a whole different beast over there, man. It's a mountainous country.
I got you.
You know what I mean? And they literally have been in Stone Ages.
I got you. So, man, I was speaking to another source, and I kind of told him this, and he echoed my sentiment. And I was just like, for Biden, it was really God dang if he do, God dang if he didn't. And and it's like, when and for America, I'm speaking to America right now. If you live, listening to this, ask yourself, when would have been the best time for him to do it? You have to understand, he is the fourth administration in office that have this on his table. When would be the best time? And I'm just going to help you out. A conclusion is, there's never a great time. If he would have did it then, or if he would do it later, it would still, around the same atmosphere, it would still be the same thing. It's just, exactly. When is somebody going to do it? So now, right. I get to the point, you know, I ain't want to like show my side until the end though, but I'm like this. I'm sorry, and it, like you said, it breaks my heart seeing what's going on over there, because I am a people's person. I love people, but then I also understand there's a business to a lot of stuff. It's almost like you at a job. You can love your coworkers, but if your coworker's not producing, that boss is going to fire them. It doesn't matter how much of a good person that they are. So when I see these people running for their lives, it breaks my heart. But yet and still, American, I want you to hear this. If you bring in, I think it's 86,000 residents over there. It's so many people. If you try to bring in all these residents, I'm pretty sure you're going to get some sleepers inside their group that's going to be over here. And I'm pretty sure it's almost like, y'all know the thing about the Trojan horse. It's almost like, bring everybody over here and they're going to kill us from within. I'm not saying kill literally, but that possibly can happen. That possibly can happen. So I want y'all to think of that. My thing is, I think the reason why a lot of American is talking so much cash right now that's against Biden is because it's not them. They're able to sit in their cool house with their air conditioning, drinking their lemonade, looking at this play out on the TV, and it really doesn't affect them. But I'm looking at the troops. I'm looking at the people that has been fighting over there. I'm looking at the 20 years that people have went over there and haven't came back. I'm looking at pulling ourselves away from that so now we can have some peace of mind. There's people in the military that doesn't know that if they're going to go, and then one day, boom, they get orders to go over there and never come back. Like, I have close friends and relatives that have told me they have been over there. They've been over there. And one day they chilling with their friends. And the next day, they got to leave them on the road because they shot and dead, and they in the middle of warfare. Like, y'all have to think of this. And I don't believe there is a best way. I'm going to be honest. I kind of agree with you. No, not kind of. I do agree with you. There's not no perfect plan to get our troops out. You just have to do it. And you have to live with your chips. And I'm going to say this. That's why for me, I kind of, as leadership, a lot of people said that they was mad that he didn't take ownership. He didn't show leadership. I'm going to tell you, leadership for me as a country, what I saw was a man that doubled down on his position. That showed strength and that showed power. That showed, hey, don't F with us. Because he also said inside his speech, he said if anything was to come out of this, it would be swift. It would be a swift and a forceful attack. So I'm just saying, with that, on top of that, my last question is, and I got a few more off my head, but just written down questions. Do you think Biden should send more troops because of what's going on, because of the disarray, what's happening over there?
I mean, ultimately, he's going to have to keep that. And that's the thing. I wouldn't pull everybody out at one damn time. I'm going to make sure our people get out safe. Like, there was this thing where it was like they had to evacuate the embassy. And, you know, they made a whole big deal out of Benghazi and all that when some people got killed in the embassy. So, yeah, definitely our personnel should have got out safe first. And then...
Why you pausing right there? That goes back to what the people that said that there was no plan. It was like if there was a plan, and I do kind of echo this sentiment just a little bit. If there was a plan, our higher ups, our people should have been able to get out in a more smooth manner, not like this.
With Trump, and I think Trump tried to meet with the Taliban. I don't know what happened. He invited them to the White House, but then people criticized him and said, yo, the United States don't never negotiate with terrorists. Like, these dudes are considered terrorists.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you can call them a terrorist, whatever, but they in charge of that country. And that's it. They proved that. They are in charge. Not your little president. Them dudes is in charge. They've always been in charge. They're always going to be, but they've been in charge for hundreds of years and whatever.
Yeah.
They don't always be in charge of that country unless you nuke the place.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And start from scratch, which you can't do. Yeah. So
I don't know how to, let me say this. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but I know the leader of the Taliban, his initials is MHA. I just call him, man, he's angry. That's what I say. Man, he's angry.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't. I'm gonna be honest. Yeah. I didn't even try to pronounce his name for the episode. Y'all can go look it up, and y'all can try, and y'all can take an English class to learn how to pronounce it. But not me.
I would have tried to sat down with them and say, "Yo, look, man, we're going to withdraw slowly." That's what I'd have did. We're going to withdraw slowly or whatever the case. But we're going to only leave on a premise that y'all can coexist peacefully with everybody else. You know what I'm saying? And that might be what would happen. But like I said, that government, that so-called government that the United States helped build up, crumbled within mere seconds.
Yeah.
So they put their arms down. They don't want to fight.
Yeah.
So it's either two things. You're either going to plant an American flag there and stay there permanently, or unfortunately, you got to let it play out the way it plays out. If they're not willing to defend themselves, then that is the rule that they want to be under. All these women leaving, where are their men? Where are their men?
Well,
like, where's their guns? And this, I mean, these dudes.
I got you.
It's things that we don't understand.
I got
and
you.
Right now, I think it's a bunch of political nonsense.
What about Plan C? Somebody told me that maybe they should send, like, meaning American, they should send special forces to go in and clean up the Taliban. And I was just like,
I can't.
Hold on. Let me tell you the conversation. Can't. Then let you respond. Mm-hmm. I said, you can't do that.
Yeah.
He was like, I said, you can't do that. He was like, well, I was like, if you was to do that, I had 2 points. I was like, for one, if you do that, you got to understand, these people still have families, they have wives, they have kids. It's still going to be a militia. It's still going to be a Taliban that's going to grow up and still be stronger than ever. And they know that. See, we may not know this from America. We may not know they sent special forces, but Afghanistan will know they sent special forces. And later on, we will probably reap what we sow. It would be another war. It would be a never-ending cycle. And then just the other part of it is just that, like you said, you can't. For one, I think the Taliban is way too big for that special. Like, to me, special forces is like very swift. It's something like It's something like when they found, like you said, Osama bin Laden, like found them. That was just a SEAL team of six. Six people found this guy. I don't think six people is going to be able to handle this Taliban.
It's their national army. I believe they outnumber the troops.
Yeah.
And all their men, all these women running, their men are fighting in the damn Taliban, it looks like to me. And there's two sides to that coin. You say send the special forces in to do what?
Yeah.
You want to clean out possibly hundreds of thousands, if not millions of soldiers? And number one, and then number two, you got to remember, these people are being supplied. Who is their supplier? Most likely it's going to be Russia. Like, didn't they put bounties on U.S. troops or something like that? And Trump didn't do anything about that? You know what I'm saying? So as long as you got other players involved, we can't clean it up. And they're supplying these guys with low-grade weaponry. It's costing them nothing to supply these dudes. We sending over trillions of high-tech explosives and all the smart bombs, and nothing's happening. Yeah. Like I said, we've been bombing these dudes around the clock, nonstop, for 20 years. This has to be the greatest comeback since freaking George Foreman in the 90s.
I gotta hit you with this.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, son.
You're right. That comeback was epic, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like, they just came out and was like, all right, dude, we out here.
Yeah,
we out here.
Yeah,
and they all over the media with their AKs and all that, showing that they got full control. Like, they are this is the most resilient people that you and I have ever seen to get rained on from above for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And still come out on top.
That's some patience. A lot of patience.
That's it. That tells me at its core, that country's values lie within the Taliban.
Dang.
So either you're going to destroy the whole country like Nazi Germany and split it up, or you're going to let it be.
So
my thing is, let it be, man. As long as y'all don't attack us no more, y'all do whatever the hell y'all going to do over here.
That's the point. That's the point for me, though. That's the point. It's like, if we just let it be and pull 100% out, what's the future? Will it be a reoccurring of 2001?
And I don't know, because, like I said, Osama, on his own merit, decided to pull that. Now, if somebody else pulls that type of deal, or whatever the case, then... which you're going to go back and find them. Like, I mean, but these dudes live in a cave system, and this is the United States' own monster they created. They train these dudes to fight guerrilla warfare against the Soviets, and he trained them all too well. And, you know, it's like a monster that you got. The only way you're going to be able to keep it on leash is if you take control of it, or you just got to back away from it.
My thing is,
you just got to back away from it.
CT, guys, let the conversation begin with my guest, KC. Yeah, guys, this is a heavy conversation. I got one more question. Then I'm going to play a clip for you, and I want you to respond to the clip. I know the answer. This is just for the episode purposes. Are you in favor of bringing the Afghanis over here to the U.S.?
Is that towards me or to the...
Oh, no. I mean, I kind of know your answer, but I still want you to answer, though. I still want you to answer.
Answer
from both sides, like, because you said, you know, because you had a great point the other day. There's so many people saying that what Biden did was so wrong, but they would probably lobby against bringing them over here because they are in the midst of whatever that they're going through in their own country. And then, like what you said, what I agree, I echo your sentiment too, is that there got to be a point in time that we got to start worrying about our own country. Our troops right now is being divided between this country and that country. So it's like now we got to worry about our own. So like which one do we want to help out fully? And at this point, help out fully means going back in over there and bringing their residents over here, or reestablishing control over there. And then if we do it, if we do that, like it's I'm gonna be honest, it's no win. This is my answer. Now I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna let you respond. Mm-hmm. There is no win-win situation bringing their residents over here or going back and inserting dominance, building up their government. I think Biden made his move. A lot of people do not like it, but I think it's just got to deal with it right now. We just got to deal with it. Like that's it. It's done, and it's time to move on. Mm-hmm. Like we need all of our resources for us now. That may sound harsh. That may sound terrible. I'm sorry what's going on. I wish we could help, but at the end of the day, I don't believe we can. Not with just going on. Also, if let's just say we go back in over there, would a trust be broken with our government now? With the little bit of trust, the little bit of relationship that we did have, because we still got soldiers over there dying. So I'm just saying, like, what do you see overall in conclusion to these questions? What should we do? Just throw our hands up and let what happen, let bygones be bygones, or should we rally up again and try to help? That's a question to you.
Oh, okay. Well, like I said, man, you know, these cats, they stand here, especially, I want to say, to his critics, who probably don't like him, didn't vote for him, voted for Trump, whatever. They're sitting there like, well, you know, he did this or that. But to me, what Biden showed was a real America first.
Yeah.
Y'all believe in this BS America first that Trump was giving you, right? He showed me to his own merit that, look, we're going to pass this infrastructure bill. This is what I ran on to fix our country. To put our workers back to work, to manufacture our stuff, to hit our roads up and you know, to make us better, build our economy up. So what he said is knock off this war. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get this infrastructure bill passed, and we're going to take, instead of putting this trillions into something that's not going nowhere, put it back and invest at home. And if you are so-called America first type of dude, you got to respect that, because if Trump would have did that, oh, y'all would have been, oh, y'all just trying to criticize him. So it's in the eye of the whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's all political nonsense. That's why this country can't get along now. Mm-hmm. It's because it's always political theater. But it's been trumped up now to where people are taking to the streets and attacking the Capitol and all of this other nonsense.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So this
they
country
ride,
got
and
so
they
many
ride
issues
with that. They ride with that, though.
Exactly. And this country should got its own issues, dysfunctionality. For it to be first world and so dysfunctional is crazy. You know what I'm saying? So I don't got no problem with what Biden did. He showed America first. Yo, bring our troops home. You know what I'm saying? Let them be with their families.
Mm-hmm.
Bring everybody back, and let's build our own infrastructure.
Gotcha.
So all these cats talking is nonsense, and then they don't want to. And to answer your second question, I agree with you. I don't believe bringing over refugees is going, because at the end of the day, we don't know who's who.
Facts.
I would love to help these people, and maybe you can get them out as quickly as possible. You don't want to do like what Trump did, Muslim ban, whatever. There's going to be people that need help.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we've been over there, and we've been over there, and we owe it to them. Because we went and invaded their country, so we owe it to help a lot of those people. But like you said, to bring everybody over, that would have consequences, because you couldn't vet everybody that fast. So I agree with you definitely on that point right there.
Yeah, I agree. But you just said something, and this is something that a lot of people really been talking about. Would you really say we invaded their country after they made the first move? That's almost like somebody came down to your street, punched you in the mouth, and now you just going back to get your revenge, get your punch back. So would you say we invaded their country?
We did.
Okay.
We did. They sent terrorist cells to do an inside job. We sent a military. So on its face, we did, but we shouldn't have stayed. We should have went for our main objective and broke out.
I got you.
And told the Taliban and made a deal with them from there, from way back, that they need to chill and don't do that no more. Because I think at first they were telling them to turn over Bin Laden,
mm-hmm.
and them people was like, no. So then that's when they went over there, and, you know, the rest was history. So it's a, like you said, it's a lose-lose situation.
You know,
but out of the best we get.
Oh, you got it. Keep finished. My fault. Keep. You got it.
Nah, but I was just going to say the best we got out of that, though, was you captured Bin Laden and whatever the case, and that was it. But then from there, we got a war with Iraq. We stayed 20 years later over here. You got ISIS. You got this. You got that. The Bush administration did all of this nonsense that led up to everything that's been going on, Syria, all of this nonsense by, you know what I mean? And Osama attacked because of the first Gulf War, I believe. The U.S. stationed their troops in Saudi Arabia, and they wasn't feeling that on holy land or whatever the case. You know what I'm saying? Putting all of this equipment, whatever. So my thing is, why didn't you attack Saudi Arabia?
Gotcha. I know.
Why
right.
You attack us? But we the ones that's over there pulling strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So. Either way, it's time to get up out of there, man. We got to have a whole lot of other strategy to me. Like, we got to focus on at home, and I don't even know how far that's going to go because our own government is dysfunctional.
Oh.
Look what's going on. We can't even clean up our own pandemic that we have here that we got the means and the ways to fix. We arguing about face masks and vaccines and all this other stuff.
Facts.
We can't even do that.
You know, I just saw a whole like school committee, teachers and parents, really going on strike because they trying to force their kids to wear a mask. And with the young people around here, I tell them, I'm like, weigh out your options, because if you don't wear a mask, you and possibly other people can die. Like, do you really want to die over something you could have prevented? Like, do you, like, think of this. You getting mad at this. And then this goes back to the point that I was making as far as the people in their living room sipping their lemonade, watching this on TV, watching it play out. People have these positions when it haven't hit home for them. They got these positions. I'm pretty sure if somebody close to you passed or somebody is going through, I'm pretty sure your mind will change. I'm pretty sure. So I just say, I'm not going to be an advocate of the vaccine because I want people to make their own decisions. But I will say, do what you have to do to protect yourself and protect others. And a mask. Mm-hmm. Now, the vaccine is another thing. But God dang it, you can wear a goddamn mask, y'all. You can put on a mask. You had it on before. You can put it on again. And if you don't do it for yourself, do it for others. Because maybe you don't want it. Maybe you don't want to wear a mask. But there's other people. You still go to Walmart. You go to Food Lion. You go to schools and stuff. You go to Public. Put on your goddamn old mask. That's all I got to say about that.
I totally agree. You ain't getting much pushback from me on that.
Yeah, put on your goddamn mask.
100%.
I got you.
That's it.
Look, getting back to that, I'm gonna play this little clip. It's like 2 minutes long. Want you to respond to this. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
So I'm curious to hear your reaction of this consequential speech by the American president. Didn't run from it. He owned it. He owned his decision. He owned the fact that, as he put it, the buck stops with him.
I hope he gets to own their deaths too. I feel like I watched a different speech than the rest of you guys. I was appalled. There was such a profound, bold-faced lie in that speech. The idea that we planned for every contingency. I have been personally trying to tell this administration since it took office. I've been trying to tell our government for years that this was coming. We sent them plan after plan on how to evacuate these people. Nobody listened to us. They didn't plan for the evacuation of our Afghan wartime allies. They're trying to conduct it now at the 11th hour. The thing that they were most concerned about was with the optics of a chaotic evacuation. Well, they got exactly what they were most concerned of by failing to do what was right when we could have done it. We had all the people and equipment in place to be able to save these people months ago, and we did nothing. I'm appalled that he thinks we only need to take 2,000 people. There's 86,000 people who are currently left behind in Afghanistan alone. We've identified all of them for the government. I have no idea why he claims that people don't want to leave Afghanistan. I have a list of 14,000 names right now of people who want to get out of of Afghanistan. And the idea that the Afghan military should be blamed for this, do you know how many casualties the Afghan military took in an average year? More than the United States did in 20. When you're not getting paid on a regular basis, when you're not getting fuel, when no one is supplying you with ammunition, and yet you're still showing up to the fight, how dare us for having to blame these people for not having the audacity to be able to survive a Taliban onslaught? No, no, no. What we need to be doing right now, and what I am appalled that the president didn't say, was we need to be talking about how we're going to get every single one of these people out.
That was Matt Zeller. He was a U.S. Army veteran. KC, what you got to say about what he just said? It's all yours.
He's okay, is that person, is he still working in the government, or is he like somebody from the sidelines or whatever? Because my thing is, if you not wasn't in the operations, then I don't know if you're valid enough to speak about what was in place or not. Like, if you somebody ever sitting at home or whatever, like, I don't know, is he retired? Who was that from? I'm not negating.
Yeah. No, it's this guy named Max Zeller. Honestly, I don't know his position. I can look it up right now. But in his speech, he had said that, like, that they have sent them plans. So that lets me know that he is somebody that's close to the operations, somebody that can speak to him like whenever he want. That's what I'm getting from it. But it says that he is also a U.S. Army veteran. I think it was Army, but he's a veteran. So maybe he done served. Let me see. I'm looking it up right now, guys. Looking it up right now. Max Zeller. Let me try to see. I'm gonna go to Wikipedia. I don't even like believe in Wikipedia, but we're gonna do it for this one right here. Matthew Zeller. I think Matthew Zeller is his full name. Rochester, New York. It's an author and consultant attorney. U.S. Current works in Northern Virginia. He is a United States Army veteran, Afghan War. He ran for Congress in 2010 as a Democratic nominee for New York 29th Congressional District. I don't know if he's anything now. I don't know. But he was on, but that interview was actually on MSNBC. He was actually talking about MSNBC, and I think that interview was actually on Fox. But at the end of the day, if he's close to it or not, a lot of Americans and even a lot of people in power feels the exact same way he feels. So I just want you to make a little short response.
Hey, if what he said is true, I can't negate any of that. You shouldn't have just swept the rug up underneath from, you know what I'm saying, these people. It was the same when Trump pulled out of Syria or whatever. It was like, oh, the Kurds is getting overrun and whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's tough decisions in that case. So I got to criticize Biden on that as well. Mm-hmm. But this was not something, but I'm not going to hold him accountable because this was not something of his own making.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the details were. I do know that our personnel should have got out first, if anything. Like, our safety, everybody's embassy and the U.S. embassy's safety is paramount, including all those interpreters, all those people that the civilians.
That was my problem. That was my problem.
I agree with that. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand why that they would just be left to the wolves like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't know what happened with that. But am I outraged enough? No. We've been over there. That was something diabolically that started 20 years ago with an evil administration that was caught lying. And I can't put the blame on any of this. You know what I'm saying? Like, the generals, all them generals probably hate Biden for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But remember, Trump was used to get credit for, oh, he don't take orders from the military. He tell the military how it is. We not just going to give to the military additional comfort. Well, when he does it, and say, yo, that's it. My Americans first, whatever. To me, it seemed like he's putting more of America first agenda than you, Trump.
Yep. That's exactly
So to all the people on the Trump side that's criticizing or whatever the case, all I'm seeing is him doing what Trump should have did. or that y'all claim y'all love him to do. Oh, he's all about America first, and it don't matter. Some people over there, they don't want to listen, and blah 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. They can't be dealt with, and no, we shouldn't bring them back here. We should put a wall up and all that. We should be worried about our home. But when a person actually do it, but he's on the other side of the fence about it, then he's open to a political attack.
Gotcha.
So I personally, I think it was messed up, but am I going to be outraged? Yo, dude, no. I don't think any Americans gotten killed or anybody that's worked in the embassy has gotten killed. That's so they say. You know what I mean? So if that didn't happen, I can't be mad at the situation. Now, the Afghani people, I feel terrible.
Gotcha.
But if your government is not going to fight, what else can we do?
Yeah, we can't fight for you. It's almost like that old cliche, like, you can take a horse to a water, but you can't make them drink it. Almost like that whole cliche.
Somebody is going to be on top of you. Mm-hmm. It's either going to be them, or it's going to be a foreign invader.
Gotcha.
So I don't know what else is. I don't know, man. It's a different country. It's a different culture of beyond our understanding. They probably the most hardcore Muslim nation, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like I said, because they still down, they still down in the dark ages out there, yo. They don't believe in technology. I mean, they got technology like how to move around and internet access and all that, but there's no roads out there. It's like paths and goat pills, mm-hmm. and it's a whole different beast that we don't understand.
Guys, CT here, man. Yeah. Let the conversation begin. Special guest, you already know who it is, KC. Y'all, man, we wrapping it up, sir. Man. He has gave us a lot to think about, and everything that he said, for the most part, I really do agree with him. I'm going to end this by reading something, and KC, I want you to, like, respond to this, and that will actually be it. This is actually from, you can go to votevets.com, and I think this was written by Major General Paul Aiden. I think that's how you pronounce his name. But this is what I want to read, and I'm going to read it clear. I'm going to read it slow so you can hear it clear. And it says, President Biden was dealt two terrible options. One option was to continue the withdrawal the previous administration negotiated directly with the Taliban and ensure the Americans were safely returned home, endure the tragic images we're now seeing. The second option was to remain in the country long past the negotiated withdrawal and challenge the Taliban to make good on their threats to target and kill American troops in retaliation. The second option would mean more flash draped coffins returned home and increase as many thousands of combat troops and a third decade of war in Afghanistan. President Biden wasn't willing to commit our military or our country to that second option. And we absolutely support him in that decision, as does any overwhelming majority of American people. That was your Major General Paul Aiden. What you say to that?
I got to agree with him on that. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, the key word was the Trump administration already negotiated with these so-called terrorists. You know what I'm saying? Which is not what the United States does. Well, it's a quote unquote. But he put that plan in motion, mm-hmm. and I know why he put it in motion, because he's trying to get things done now that he's passed this infrastructure $1 trillion bill. Mm-hmm. He's doing America first policy. So okay. To people to be complaining about wanting America first and then you get it and then say, oh, it's a disgrace, it just shows how phony Americans are. So I ain't got nothing to say about that. And that's not a stain on his record or whatever the case, because history knows and is well documented how this whole thing started.
Yeah.
And I'm not picking a side. I'm not picking a whatever. I'm just being all realistic about this situation.
I got you, man. There it is, guys. Mm-hmm. There it is, guys. My homie CT, he came to let the conversation begin. He put it down. He held it down, man. Appreciate you, man. It's always a pleasure having you here.
Yes, sir. Anytime. Thank you.
Other guys, man, this is a heavy topic. I'm pretty sure that this topic is going to be held on other platforms. It's going to keep going probably for a long time, because I don't see this thing being resolved no time soon, to be honest. And a lot of people is going to keep talking about it. But I really do want your thoughts, and I want to understand how you feel about this, guys. So please send an email to letthconversationbegin@gmail.com. Make sure you head title it CT and your homegirl, Nikki C. I promise you, we'll be back with you next week. And if there's something major that go on, I also will have an update. And just to be honest, I have another guy, my good friend, Lydell Karen. He is actually coming on tomorrow. We're going to talk about this same topic, and we're going to keep it rolling, guys. So I'm going to let my guy CT get the last word. Casey. I'm going to let my guy KC get the last word, and we're going to be out here, man. All right. KC, man, what you got to say, brother?
All right, my brother, thanks for having me on, man. This is an excellent conversation.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? And, just keep it going amongst the people, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See what it, get your intakes on it, yeah.
All right, appreciate it, man. We will do, man. Hey, guys, love y'all. Y'all take care. You stick with us, we stick with you. Peace.
Sure.